just talk. Okay, well, this is Sterling Allen, Pure Energy Systems News. Vinny has asked me to come on the show to talk about free energy. That is what I do. For 11 years, I've been tracking the world of clean or exotic free energy. I say exotic because when you talk about conventional, you're talking solar, wind, geothermal, tide. Physicists aren't going to have a problem with those. Coincides with modern physics, makes them all happy. But when you talk about cold fusion, magnet motors, zero point energy, electromagnetic over unity, water as fuel, etc., then they want to throw you out as a heretic and burn you at the stake or whatever. And that's where we get interested, is the heretical science, the stuff where people are breaking the laws of physics and it works. The devices that are not supposed to work but do anyway. I'm a maverick. I was raised a maverick to a certain extent, and as a young adult, deeply embedded myself as a maverick, and I then put those skills to work in the world of free energy. So out there in the world of free energy, we're tracking to find and facilitate the very best exotic clean energy technologies that not only would be clean, but affordable, something you could actually save money on your electrical bill rather than just being independent from the grid and sticking it to the man. All of us would like to do that, but we don't have enough money in our pockets to go buy these expensive solar panels that have a 30-year return on investment. A wind turbine, if you have good wind in your area, could be a 10-year return on investment. These things could have a 1 to 3 year return on investment, and they're getting close to market. We're talking have any back?
I've been back sitting here listening to you for quite a while. Thank you for taking over the show for me while I've been having technical difficulty. I've always wondered that, Sterling, as well, is why exactly do solar panels and wind energy get all the media attention as if it's the only methodology of creating energy for free off of the natural elements and the things in the universe? It just drives me nuts. And especially what drives me nuts is that they're incredibly expensive. And, you know, only the wealthy can get them at the moment anyway. So it's like, what? Only the wealthy have access to free energy. Is that a contradiction?
Well, obviously, when you use the term free energy, let's describe what we mean by that. When I say free energy, I'm talking about the source is free for the taking. Nature gives us energy free for the taking. Solar is free. You don't have to pay for the sun. You don't have to pay for the wind. The devices that you use to harness that energy are not free, but ideally should be inexpensive. And that is indeed the case with these exotic technologies. And a very good argument can be made that the reason they stay as exotic is because there is a calculated agenda by the conspiratorial forces, the same one that brought the towers down on September 11th, the same ones who give these numerous false flag events, the Boston bombing, which stunk to high heavens within minutes of the news coming out on it. The alternative media was all over the holes in that story. And yet the mainstream media keeps trumping it as, you know, it's just some whack job that did bad. And
how many people even listen to the mainstream media anymore? Apparently, it's very little.
The story of Alex Jones going to CNN and rustling the feathers of Piers Morgan. And he tells a story the next day about going into the bathroom at CNN, and they had diarrhea and barf on the wall and the mold in the corners. He said 10 years ago when he went to CNN, it was what you would expect it to be, clean, you know, shiny. But now it's like this cesspit behind the scenes. It's a facade. These guys are on their way down. It's the Wizard of Oz. It's totally, these guys' curtain is about to fall.
Well, see, we're the ones picking up the slack, aren't we? It's like they've created a market for us, whether or not we like it, that we've created a market for people who want to listen to stuff that isn't BS.
Indeed.
I mean, I should thank the mainstream media. They gave me my job in a roundabout way.
Well, if they were doing their job, we wouldn't need this job because it would be coming from them. And as David Icke very aptly puts, everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Major media destroys information. Universities destroy knowledge. Those who are supposed to be the connoisseurs of health are destroying and blocking those who have true health solutions. And the same thing with energy. The major energy companies are polluting the planet and blocking the true solutions that are clean, affordable, distributed, that would make our state, our planet stable and no longer dependent on the powers that be that are corrupt. And when you have a free energy device that powers your house, powers your car, never have to stop for fuel, that is affordable, then you can stick it to the man. They're obsolete. They no longer have a reason to exist.
Well, one would say that they don't currently have a reason to exist. and I think it's like evolution or adaptation. Once you realize, let's say you were a psychopath. Just imagine for a moment, if you were a ruthless criminal psychopath and you liked killing babies, you liked enslaving people, you liked power and money and all that kind of stuff. And somebody comes up with something that's very nice, very good for humanity, that will take away your money and take away your power and take away your ability to control people. What would you do to that person who invented it?
Yeah, and there are many stories about inventors who end up getting threatened. Their technology gets bought, put on the shelf, at big prices sometimes, just to shut them up. They go on their way and they stay quiet. And once in a while, under a drunken binge or something, a secret squeaks out and you hear what really happened. And yeah, stuff like that happens. But you know, my motto is that the tool of the enemy, of the bully, I should use the word bully in this analogy, the tool of the bully is fear. That's how they rule. And if you have no fear, they have no power. And so my motto has been, all this time that I've been doing this, is to stay out of fear. Because if you go into fear, they have power, they win. But if you don't have fear and you just do the right thing and you know, tell the story as it is, the best you see it, you know, I don't want to, you know, invite anything, but I've been at this 11 years and I've never had a knock on my door. I'm not saying I don't have people listening in on my conversations. I just don't worry about it. You know, if somebody came to my door,
I say, let them watch. Let them freaking watch. What are they going to do? You know, they're going to listen to us having
convert.
Oh yeah, they're going to listen to us having an enlightened conversation, like on this show every single freaking day with somebody else about some new form of scumbaggery, whatever that be, free energy or drug wars or whatever. And eventually, okay, this is how propaganda works. They'll have it repeated to them over and over and over again. I can imagine these poor analysts sitting there, you know, forced to listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show for a job.
Every time we send somebody to go listen to Vinnie Eastwood, they change teams.
Yeah. They have like a cycle going so that, you know, only a little bit of their propaganda will be busted each time that they surveil one of the shows. Oh, yeah. Is he calling for the military to take out the U.S. leadership or something like that? No. He's just having fun and having a few laughs and talking about various forms of scumbaggery and stuff like that. Damn, we can't take him out yet.
Yeah. I have to tell you a cute little story that I think is symptomatic or is a good analogy of the tactic that I like to take of no fear. I saw this discovery. It might have been, it was some kind of a, you know, discovery type of programming. And you had this little raccoon playing on the beach, little baby raccoons tossing around. And then this cougar comes along, hiding in the bushes, crouched down, and you can see what's going to come next, right? You predict that cougar eats baby raccoon in a couple of bites and moves on, right? This is what the headlines read in the Maytime mainstream media. But what happens is this cougar comes pouncing out, and instead of running, the little baby raccoon starts playing with the cougar. It's batting it, you know, teasing, and the cougar's like, "What?" It's like, and the cougar starts playing with the raccoon, and the cougar's like it's with its own little cub, and they're little playing back and forth, you know, 35, 45 seconds, and then the cougar walks off confused, like, okay, whatever, that was interesting. And the raccoon just keeps on playing. It's no big deal, just another playmate in the course of his day. And so when the men in black show up at your door, rather than cowering in fear, invite them in for a cup of coffee. Invite them in show them your latest YouTube video. Pretend like he's a friend. And if you have your heart full of love, the pretending doesn't come very hard. You know, he's one of God's creations. He's got a conscience hidden somewhere in there. It can be perked. And, that's a great analogy. I love that story.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, psychopaths don't actually exist in the animal kingdom. Whereas, so it's at least possible to get through to some of these creatures. Whereas in the human societies, certain people are born different, very different. And doesn't matter how nice I am to them, doesn't matter how many cups of coffee I make.
You know what, though? I don't know that I buy that. I would say that the worst case you can take is not unreachable. Even the hardest core Lucifer himself could be converted at some point and changed.
Have you got any examples of a psychotic murderer or somebody who is a clinical psychopath?
Schindler's
List. Who has reversed their ways.
Schindler. Eric Schindler of Schindler's List, the movie. He was a Nazi sympathizer, lived in Nazi Germany, a businessman, got high up in business because he played the game. And then his conscience was pricked, and he saved thousands of Jews by his trickery of pretending like he was one of them, but changing his tactics.
Mm. Now, was he clinically a psychopath before going into that and having no emotion, no frontal lobe activity?
I don't know about that. But I bet you people in the audience could come up with examples of people who have had the psychotic break, who have had that break with reality, have gone over to the other side completely and are completely given into it, have done the sacrificial initiations, killing dead killing babies or whatever they have to do to become part of that clique, are still reachable at some point. Then maybe not in this life. You know, but I'm not saying that we should be naive and that we should just let these guys, you know, run scot-free and not worry about them. But I'm saying that a primary tool. See, how many are actually that corrupt?
It's about between 1 and 4%.
Not of humankind.
Yeah, of humankind. They've done studies.
I would guess that are that dark, that are unreachable. I would say it's more like in the low thousands or less, that are so corrupt that they're basically unreachable in this lifetime. It could even be in the low hundreds. Everyone else, you can get to. You can get to them. You can get them back on your team. You can get them through a program of recovery and get them out of their programming. Another good book, there's a book called Transformation, spelled Trans, T-R-A-N-C-E, Transformation of America. She was a mind control victim, where she was one of these harlot slaves, and she was actually recovered from that and basically wrote this book with the guy who helped deprogram her.
Mm. Well, you know, hope springs eternal. And what I'm in favor of is essentially avoiding these people altogether and just trying to find nice, decent, caring, loving, creative people that you can spend your life with. And hopefully you'll never run into any form of scumbag, and they'll probably rot away like necrosis with nobody to eat, destroy, or control, or have power over. Don't feed the beast. I think that's basically the thing. You don't want to go to war with these people because, hey, they'll use dirty tactics you'd never even dream of using on another human being. We'll be right back after the break. TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone. The conditions which frame and hold us our standards have gone. The world we knew is gone.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the world you knew is gone. You know why? Because it was stolen by a bunch of criminal scumbags wearing suits. Now, there's another thing. I made that comment yesterday on Facebook. We've got this 33rd degree Freemason dude named John Banks, right? Used to be the mayor of Auckland, and he's been mired with all sorts of accusations like being a pedophile, being a drug runner or a gun runner and all of this other kind of stuff. And he's never defended himself in court or taken anybody for defamation on these cases. I wonder what that means, you know. but what I called him is a criminal in a suit. And people don't get this. The most dangerous people aren't the ones that are wearing the Masonic checkered hats with tasers on their hips. They're not the ones with the foxhole-bound helmet-wearing M4 carbine-wielding, grenade-lobbing type. No. The police and the military aren't the most dangerous people. The most dangerous people are the ones that look like everybody else wearing a suit, because you can't identify them. That's what makes them so freaking dangerous. People don't know who the hell these people are. If you see a policeman coming at you, he's got a clear uniform. He is identified. You know exactly what he's going to do to you. You know, he's going to spray you with mace. He's going to put his knee into your lower back, and he's going to pull your arm around, and he's going to bind you with fisticuffs. You know, a military guy busts in. You know, he's probably going to shoot you or anything. You can see it coming. But if a fracker is wearing a suit, it's like urban camouflage. You don't see him.
You know, the logo.
Your country's already gone.
The logo image for the Fabian Socialists is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well, and there's the other symbol of the Fabian Socialists is a tortoise wielding a hammer. Move slow, but strike hard. Very, very sneaky scum they are, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about the mentality of the elite and the suppression syndrome that's been going on here. And I'm conscious that we've only got a couple more segments with you, Sterling, before we bring on Karen to start. And I wanted to get your take on just kind of the free energy devices that you think are the most promising at this particular moment in time.
Okay. One of the things that's most promising right now is cold fusion, and that's actually probably not the proper terminology. It's not fusion, it's probably transmutation. It is nuclear, but it's not dangerous nuclear. There's nothing dangerous being emitted. There's no nuclear radiation going into it or coming out of it. They're using nickel and hydrogen, which are benign. You can eat this stuff and it won't hurt you. You know, they're creating these nuclear reactions that put out a lot of heat. I did an interview a couple of days ago with the guy who we have in our top five exotic free energy technology listing. If you go to top5energy.com as a shortcut URL, he's listed there, and he has a 1 megawatt, 1 megawatt, really quick, as a footnote. A megawatt is about as much power as a small locomotive engine, okay? That's a lot of power. And he delivered a 1 megawatt plant, his second of two that he's built so far and delivered. It's going to a U.S. customer. He talked all about it in this interview. What it does, how It didn't go into so much how it works. We talked about that in previous interviews with him. But he talked about the first customer was a military customer, undisclosed, confidential. The second one's also confidential, but is non-military. And he also talked about a glowing hot cat. He calls this other system 350 degrees stable, capable. They have a video or a photograph online showing this thing running, and it's like red hot. And it's like, whoa, what's up with that? And that what it was is they were basically running it to destruction to see what would happen, see kind of extremes it could go to before it fell apart, kind of thing. And that's where that photograph came from. These industrial rollouts, in fact, they're talking about building, not talking about, they're in process of establishing factories to make these things in a robotics kind of scenario so you can crank them out, because 1,000 of these 1 megawatt plants, each with 106 modules inside of it, you know, that's 106,000 units you need to build, and that's something you need robotics for. So they're working on that. And as these things are built for, and they're expecting 1,000 customers in not too long from now. They've got quite a few lined up already. And they're saying the wait time is only about 4 months. You know, we haven't seen that turnover yet. The second unit that was just delivered was took a good 2.5 years. But of course, the first ones always take longer, but they've worked through a lot of their bugs now, ready to start cranking these things out faster. And at 350 degrees, a hot cat is able to generate electricity. So that's another technology that they're working on. The 1 megawatt unit is heat, not electricity. So people who have need for example, a commercial industrial setting where they need heat in the low range of 103 to 130 degrees Celsius, that's the unit you want. It's $1.5 million for a 1 megawatt unit, which is reasonable for those who are in that industry. It's not it's not necessarily cheaper than what's available out there, but it's in the same ballpark as what is out there. And once they get this thing mass produced, then the price will start dropping. And they'll also, once they get these 1 megawatt plants out there and tested, the test results coming in, then they'll be able to have the data they need to present to the certifications and the safety people so they can start going domestic. Because, of course, they have much higher standards of safety for domestic applications where you're going to be putting something in your basement as opposed to something in an industrial setting where you have safety regulations and people are trained to know how to use the equipment. Very different scenario. And very different, you know, standards of safety. So that's pretty big news. I would recommend people go check that out. Cold fusion supposedly is junk science. Well, these guys are not only not junk science, they're in production. They're making these things. They're selling them. They're distributing them. They're putting them out there in the market. So technically, ECAT is in the market. If you consider 1 megawatt size to be in the market, that I think that fits. It's not yet to the home production size, but that's coming. Like I said, after this data comes in, they'll be able to start opening up those markets. So that's very exciting news. And he has as his dream the idea of Tesla, which is that you have a very high dense energy production cheaply in a very small package. And that's what these things provide. 1 gram of nickel, supposedly, is able to produce 23 gigawatt hours of power. Okay?
That's enough energy to go back to 1985 several times.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. And the recharge time for these units, the modules, would be in the ballpark of 6 months. And the scientists are guessing that the reason for that is that you do the transmutation of the nickel, or the hydrogen goes to deuterium, and the nickel occasionally goes to copper. a much secondary, low secondary reaction. But deuterium, as it builds up, actually quenches the nuclear reaction. So you have to kind of get a new setting, reset the system, get rid of the deuterium, and you're ready to go. Deuterium is non-radioactive. It sounds radioactive, but it's not.
Now, also with any industry, industries try to keep secrets and protect themselves from other competitors and things of that nature. The people who have created this device you're talking about now, what are they doing to protect themselves? Like, have they got, I don't know, trip wires, claymore mines outside the office or something like that, just in case some people try to come in and raid the office, steal their plans, shut down their plant, that kind of thing?
Well, they are doing the traditional things. They're seeking patents. They have an Italian patent awarded. They have filed for U.S. patents, having problems with that. And there's a number of other patents that they're also in process of filing for applications in different embodiments of the technology. So they're doing that. But they're also, you know, they have their security. And also they're being very careful what customers they sell to. As a criteria, for example, you can't buy one unless you have a demonstrated record of needing that kind of heat. If you can prove that you need it and you've used it in the past, chances are you're genuine and you're not just trying to steal IP. And so that's one of the criteria they have for new customers.
How exactly does the patent office fit into all of this? Like, have many, many people gone to the patent office, applied for a patent, and then found out not long afterwards that they get shut down by some men in black?
Yeah, the filing of the patent office is sometimes a way to put them on notice that you've got something cool. Supposedly, when you file a patent, it goes into a black hole until there's a one-year period of time you have in a provisional to then file a utility, and that's when they start looking at it. But I'm guessing they have their sniffers hard at work. You know, if they've got this heavy-duty facility at Camp Williams here in Utah that they're building to spy on us and know our intimate secrets and to analyze it and to get the information that's good for their use of snuffing, you know, out opposition to their bullyism, it obviously they have the capability to sniff out new patents and to find things that are of interest and to slap a national security order on them. In fact, Tom Vallone, who works at the U.S. Patent Office, who actually was let go from the Patent Office when he held a cold fusion conference, he was later given his job back with back pay. He fought that and won. But he said that the Patent Office has an explicit policy that any patents that mention anything to do with cold fusion will automatically be rejected. Has nothing to do with science, has everything to do with politics. And that may be one of the reasons why Andrea Rossi's patent is languishing, so to speak, and not either being speedily reviewed or approved.
Now, I'd heard that agencies of the U.S. government are not actually agencies of the U.S. government in full. They're, in fact, mostly privately owned. Like, there's a 75% shareholding in the CIA that's private and the NSA and things of that nature. I was wondering just how much influence does the private sector or even ownership over the patent office? Do you have any information on that?
I don't, but I do know that, like everything else, it's upside down. And I just remembered that I got that quote from you the last time I was on your show during one of the breaks that came on. I've been using that ever since. That's good stuff. You know, the quote from
David Icke,
everything's upside down. The patent office is supposed to be protecting helping with intellectual property and protection of property is actually a primary instigator of subversion of the protection of good technologies. They're doing the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. And so in this world where everything's upside down, I recommend doing crazy things like open sourcing and putting it to the people to do the honest thing and remit a royalty if they're successful as a business. Publish the plans. You can sell the plans. And then when people build a successful company from those plans, send a royalty. And I think enough people would do the right thing that you would actually get more money that route than if you try to go the traditional route of going through the patent office, getting it awarded, and then going public with your technology.
You know, I see people doing that, like creative implements just sort of like off the cuff and just getting it done by any means necessary, right? And they get criticized for being unprofessional. And I find this very ironic. The world's currently run by professionals, right? How's that working out for you?
Yeah. How are the suits working out?
Not working out very well at all. I mean, you know, if we are in opposite land, that means we've got to do the direct opposite of everything that conventional wisdom would tell us. Conventional wisdom would tell you you need some kind of authority figure, some sort of bureaucracy, and what have you. So you're saying, no, frack the authority figure. We're just going to give it out to the people. Do we need some kind of bureaucracy? No, we're just going to do it direct to people. Okay, that's simple. All done and solved. That's how you live in opposite world. You just do the direct opposite of everything that you're told to do.
By the way, I love the little cuss word that you use there, frack, instead of the other word. I've seen that coming out. I think that's an awesome substitute word that makes a statement at the same time.
Yeah, it's the Shiite Muslim. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Well, there's only one thing I need.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's our final segment here with the miraculous, fabulous, and various other nice adjectives guest, Sterling Allen. His website is peswiki.com. That's P-E-S wiki, like Wikipedia, and Pez, you know, like the little thing with the heads that you like click off and then a little bit of candy comes out, you know? Like cherry-flavored Pez, stand by me.
Sterling, that Z as in zebra.
Yeah, that's right. Now, apparently some guy made a John F. Kennedy head Pez dispenser, but it got shot. It's a Family Guy joke. Anyway, final segment here with you, bro. And thanks for coming on and sharing some of your valuable time with us. I know you're a very busy man. Can I ask you, just in terms of your personal experience, has getting into this realm of work, has it weighed heavy on you at times?
Well, that's what motivates me, is that weight of the sense of how important this is and how much of a difference it can make. If we can get even one of these genres to make it to market, and when I say even one, the question comes up, well, how many are there? And the answer to that question is in the following ballpark figure. I did a story on my website a couple of months ago. I wrote two columns down. In the left-hand column, I had conventional free energy, solar, wind, geothermal, tide, wave, ocean, all that. You know, 25 genres of conventional free energy that nature gives us free for the, you know, free of charge. There are also, on the right-hand side, on the unconventional, there are 25. There are as many unconventional, and almost to every single one of them, almost to an item, they would not only be clean, but they would be much more affordable than pretty much everything on the left-hand column. And that answers the question as to, well, why haven't they made it to market yet? Because there's a lot of forces working against that kind of clean energy emerging because of how empowering it would be to the people. I'm not saying that the powers that be have that much control over things, but I think also part of it has to do with the readiness of the people to receive these things. When the people are ready, then the free energy devices will emerge, not just one, but a whole bunch of them. In a short period of time, we're going to see cold fusion, electromagnetic overunity, water as fuel. We're going to see zero-point energy, magnet motors, gravity motors. We're going to see these things just pop, 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 pop when we're ready for it. When it's similar to the axiom, we get the government we deserve, we get the energy we deserve. And the corruption of the present government is a reflection of the spiritual status of the people they are governing. And when people are realizing enough that they're in a bad way, and when the addict hits the wall, so to speak, and wakes up and realizes he has a problem, when the people awaken, that, I think, is probably going to be the trigger point for unleashing these free energy technologies. And I'm hoping that it's not going to be at the end of the biblical reign of the beast, the 3.5 years reign of the powers that be in total control over the planet, but that there will be a concurrent, the free energy devices will be coming out on the queue, so to speak, on the quiet, under the radar, below, you know, they'll be sneaking out in the cities of light and the communes of patriots, sneaking them and telling people how to turn your regular generator into a free energy generator. It could be that simple. And it will be part of the empowerment of what enables us to survive during the powers that be having a seemingly total domination over the planet. But I would also argue that the extent to which we can wake up before we hit the wall, to use the addict analogy, will be the extent that we don't collapse as a civilization, and that the reign of the beast will be less severe than it would be otherwise. The severity of the reign of the beast is our choice. It's not written in stone. It's not unavoidable. It's got to be this hard, no harder, no less hard. The severity of the reign of the beast is a function of the choice we make as a civilization. It could be a small thing, or it could be a brutal thing. And it's really up to us. And so I don't think the things in the right-hand column are going to come out before we're ready for them as a civilization, either individually in pockets of resistance or collectively as we wake up sufficiently as a society to embrace and adopt these things on a wide-scale basis.
Now, you were talking about conventional and unconventional energy. So for conventional energies, they hold conventions. Would you be thinking about holding an unconvention at some point?
Actually, we do have a lot of unconventions all the time. Today in our New Energy Systems Trust weekly meeting that we were having, we were talking about there are 5 conferences coming up in the near term. We've got one coming up in June, the Bedini Conference up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And then July 10th, we have a conference in Philadelphia and New York with the Tesla Society. And then in Boulder, Colorado, they're having a Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. And then in October, they're having a Evolve Conference, which may include a section on free energy like they had that they invited me to in February. And so those are just a few of, you know, there's also some cold fusion conferences coming up. There's one at the University of Missouri, I believe June. So there's plenty of unconventions going on. If we had Vinnie Eastwood running the conventions, they might be called unconventions.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can steal the name if you want. I don't have a patent on it. And the other element is, you're talking about how these devices will just pop up everywhere as soon as people are ready. And that reminded me of the telescope. Apparently 9 dudes on different parts of the Earth all at the same time came up with the idea of the telescope and built a prototype. Right? Yeah. Just thinking about that, that's really amazing. You know, it's up there. The ideas and things like that, they filter down and people can pick them up, you know, like a wireless transmitter or something of that nature. It'd be something like that. And then the other idea came to me. It's like, have you ever played Whack-A-Mole?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be like for the New World Order scumbags, like just playing a giant game of Whack-A-Mole. It's like, there's this guy making this device and that guy making that device. Whack, 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 whack. Too many moles, bro. You'll never be able to whack them all.
Yeah. And I think to a certain extent we reach the state of no return, the escape velocity easily last year, that there's no way they're going to stop this. There's too many people, too many inventors, too many teams. The momentum is too strong. It is, these things are going to come out. There's no doubt about it.
You wonder about what any kind of creative solutions they might come up for this sort of a problem of people rising up, waking up, and creating devices to free themselves. How exactly will they try to hold on to their power structure? And it makes me very nervous.
Well, one of the primary tools that they used, and I mentioned this so you have a tool in your belt to know how to disarm this tool, is ridicule. They make fun of people, tinfoil hat, junk science, conspiracy theory. And all they have to do to a socialite to get them to shut up is to make fun of them. It's one of the primary tools of the bully is to tease and to make fun and to use stupid names and to call you names. For most people, that's all it takes to keep them quiet, to keep them down, to keep them from rising up, is just to call them a silly name. And people don't want to risk their reputations. They don't want to step up and be counted because they don't want to look crazy. Because everyone now knows that when you say certain phrases like New World Order or free energy or cold fusion, that you're one of them, the crazy fringe crowd. And if you know that, then you can diffuse it by not letting it get to you. You know that that's a tool, and you don't let ridicule get to you. You grow a thick skin, and you just do the right thing, and you don't care what people say about you.
Yeah, basically. Ain't nobody ever going to help you do the right thing. Doing the right thing is usually doing the hard thing, isn't it? You got to suffer. You got to go through hardship. Otherwise, hey, if it's too freaking easy, then it's not worth it.
One of the things, I wanted to mention another technology. We've only talked about one.
We've got about 40 seconds to wrap it up, man.
Okay. Well, go to our top5energy.com. You can see the closest technologies to market, the ones that are going to make the biggest difference. There's a lot of ways you can get involved in helping out. We have a donate button. We could use donations like anybody else in this sector. So thank you for having me on, Vinny.
You're very welcome, man. It was a pleasure and my honor as always.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Will do. Don't really have much of a choice. You know, as a great man once said, it's not a choice, it's a lack of options. Sterling Allen has been my guest, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed this little interview. You'll be able to catch the YouTube version of this at youtube.com/Mr News. Guerrilla Media, my YouTube channel. Link's there on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And also, we're listener supported too. So donate or subscribe if you can. We'll be right back.